chapter 22, the book of Genesis chapter 22. This is a message that I thought would take me two services, but it's ended up taking me three, and that's okay. It's the series that we've started on the mountains of the Bible, and we started this message 2 weeks ago now, I guess, or something like that, on Mount Moriah. And eventually, we're going to get to a lot of mountains, God willing. There's a lot of mountains to learn, a lot of biblical lessons from. I have a slight inclination that we'll end up somewhere around Mount Calvary, somewhere around Mount Zion, somewhere around there, Mount Carmel, where Elijah met the 250 false prophets and called fire down from heaven. The Mount of Transfiguration. I mean, you go on. I'm just trying to whet your appetite a little bit, you know. And this is a great study here, and I've enjoyed just this opening message. I want to give you the final three thoughts under our third major thought, and let's pray together, and we'll bring you right back up to exactly where we are in this message. Let's pray. Our Father, we love you. Help us now, I pray. Bless this Bible study in a mighty way, and may you forgive our sins. Help us to be clean. May you work freely among us tonight, keep the devil out of this place, and may the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 22, verse number 1, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. I began a message entitled, Mount Moriah. Now, as I've already introduced, this is a particular series. This is my topical series that I'm currently on, where we are taking mountains of the Bible and giving you the story that took place on that particular mountain, and then drawing out some great spiritual truths to help us in our everyday life. Now, if you remember in verse number 1, God speaks to Abraham, and Abraham answers him. Verse number 2, God tells Abraham to take his only son Isaac to Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering. Then in verses 3 and 4, Abraham rises early with Isaac and two others and went to the place where God told him. Verse number 5, Abraham tells the other two with him that he and Isaac were going to worship, that means to bow down and come again. Verse number 6, Abraham takes the wood for the offering, lays it on Isaac, and took the other needed things for the offering, and they went on together. Verses 7 and 8, Isaac asked his father Abraham where the lamb was for the offering, and Abraham tells him that God would provide himself a lamb. In verses 9 and 10, Abraham builds the altar, ties up Isaac, lays him on the altar, and lifts his hand with the knife, preparing to offer his son to the Lord as a burnt offering. In verses 11 and 12, the Lord calls out to Abraham, tells him not to touch his son, and says he knows that he fears God, seeing he did not withhold his son Isaac. In verse number 13, Abraham sees a ram caught in a thicket, by his horns, takes it, and offers the ram in the place of his son Isaac. Then in verse number 14, Abraham calls that place Jehovah Jireh, which means God or the Lord will provide. What an amazing story it is. And there's three major things we've been studying together. First of all, the test. Secondly, the typology. Thirdly, the teaching. Now let me go back and tap where I've already preached, just in case if you want this, you can go back and get it. You can just call in and ask the secretary what the date was when I preached it, because I lose track myself too, to be honest with you. But number one, the test. What was the test? In other words, there was a major test that God was putting Abraham through. Notice the word tempt in verse number one. That word tempt there can also mean to test. It means to prove. Understand, when you hear the word tempt today, it carries an evil connotation. You and I think that temptation is bad. You understand what I'm saying? It tempts you to do something wrong. That's not the way God tempts. God does not tempt with evil. He only tests your faithfulness. And this is what he's doing here. And in the nutshell here, just so I don't get bogged down, the test was this. God wanted Abraham to prove who he loved more. Did he love him as his God, or did he love his only son Isaac the most? Abraham passed that test. He also gave him the test here of who he's going to be more loyal to, his own will or the will of God. So we understand the test was who is number one in your life. Then the second thing we noticed was the typology. Now, there's three major types in this text. Now, you understand, just like I said to you when I first opened up this message, you have to be very careful with typology. In other words, you do not force it on Scripture. That's where people get in trouble, is where they try to make everything in the Scripture type. God has not made everything a type, but it's obvious when He has. For instance, there's three major types in this story. First of all is Abraham. He's a type of the Heavenly Father. Secondly is Isaac. He is a type of Christ and his relationship to his Father. Thirdly, there's the ram, and he's a type of Christ in relationship to sinners. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. Abraham is a type of the Heavenly Father in that he loved his son dearly, but he was willing to sacrifice him for the love of another. And in the same way, God loves his son dearly, but he was willing to sacrifice him for the love he has for you and for the love he has for me. Secondly, we notice Isaac is a type of the son. This is all repeat here. Isaac is a type of the son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his relationship with the Father. For instance, he typifies Christ, I'm talking about right here, and his relationship to the Father in that he was Abraham's only son. And in the same way, Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Secondly, he had the wood laid on him to carry to the place of sacrifice. And if you know the Bible, you understand that Jesus Christ had his cross on him, bearing it to the place of Calvary. Now we understand he fell under it, and later on they brought in Simon, but don't miss it. He had the wood laid on his back, just like Isaac did. Number three, he willingly submitted to his Father and offered his life. For instance, if you remember, Isaac in this story is not a child. He's a grown man, which lets me know that if he wanted to rebel and run off, he probably could have. But he didn't. He realized that his daddy had something to do for God, and it involved him, so he submitted to the will of his Father, and he willingly laid down his life. Sound familiar? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He submitted to his Heavenly Father, and he willingly laid down his life. Then number four, he was dead in his Father's mind for 3 days. It's interesting that from the time that the Lord gave the command, and what I'm talking about, the journey that they took, it took them 3 days. Which tells me that in the mind of Abraham, Isaac was already dead for 3 days. But on the third day, his life was granted back to him again. Does any of that sound familiar to you folks? I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ was dead 3 days and three nights, and then he came out of the grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Then number three, this is all under the typology, the ram is a type of the substitutionary death of Christ, his relationship to sin. Understand, Isaac is a picture of the son's relationship to the Father. Now the ram is a picture of the son's relationship to the sin or sinners of the world. For instance, Isaac now flips and he becomes a type of you and I here. Because whenever Abraham lifts his knife and he's going to come down and kill his son, God stops him and shows him a ram, and he offers the ram. He takes Isaac off the altar, puts the ram on the altar, and his judgment comes down upon the ram. That is a beautiful picture of the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. In other words, we were laid out, the wrathful hand of God was stretched out, and we were under the wrath of God, and his wrath could fall at any moment, but the lovely Lord Jesus Christ came, born of the Virgin Mary, and he bled and he died in our place. And if you trust him as your Savior, the wrath of God will never fall on you because it fell on Christ, who you are now in. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. I'm telling you, that's a blessing. Then number three, we've been noticing the teaching. Now, this is where we pick up. Now, I've got three more points. There's some I just need to tap on the head here because I got started under this major point here. In other words, we're looking at right here the test, the typology, the teaching. There are major lessons that we can all learn from this story. And keep in mind, again, some of this is repeat. But anytime a preacher repeats himself, it's either because he's a stutterer, or he's trying to make emphasis, or both. And I have to say I'm both, okay? But the fact of the matter is this. Let me just go back and tap what we've already said. Major teaching number one, God tests our faith every now and then. He wants our faith to get bigger and better all the time. And he will test you every now and then. Secondly, we are to love God supremely. There is absolutely nothing or nobody in this life who is to take the place of God in our heart. We're to love him supremely. Number three, this is all repeat, obey God immediately and completely. It's interesting when God told him to take his only son, the next verse right here in verse number three, it says Abraham rose up early. He didn't sleep in that day. He got up early and he began to obey God. And by the way, he was going to obey him completely. And we learn that we're to obey God immediately and obey him completely. Can I say something to you? When you know what God wants you to do, do it immediately. Because if you don't, you'll start trying to reason with it. And before long, you'll talk yourself out of it when God told you to go ahead and do it. Now, you have to be careful that you know it's God telling you now. I'm not saying get ahead of the Lord. I'm not saying jump into something. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm saying when you pray and you're seeking the Lord and the Lord gives you peace, yes, that's what I want you to do, then do it. That's simple teaching, isn't it? But yet how many of us fall short on that? Then number four, this is where we stopped here. Believe God even in the most trying times. Remember, this is one of the most trying times in Abraham's life. This is his son. And God has told him to sacrifice him. But yet Abraham looked at those two that he took with him and he said, me and the boys going over there, we're going to worship, but guess what? We're both coming back again. The book of Hebrews tells us why he made that statement. He made that statement because the Bible says he was persuaded that God would raise his son from the dead. You know what that means? That means Abraham had every intention of killing his son, just like God said, but he knew in his heart that God had promised his blessings through Isaac. So he knew that even through this trying time, he could still believe God. And in the same way, when you're being tried, and everybody has trials, everybody goes through hard times, and I'm telling you, when you're going through those hard times, you can still believe God. He's still on the throne. His promises are still true. He will not forsake you. Amen. Well, I got happy right there. Now there's a fifth major teaching. There's three more that I've got to get to tonight. And I've given myself a little while to do it. Number five, this is all under the teaching. By the way, this is part three of this message. If you'd like to go back and get it, or if you don't want to torture yourself, then don't do it, okay? Hearing me one time's enough, right? Don't be careful. Be careful. Somebody don't say amen. Don't say amen right there, you know. Sure. Number five, we learn from verse number 12 another teaching, and that is this. Hold nothing back from God. Hold nothing back from God. We see in verse number 12, notice it. And he said, lay not thine hand. Now this is the Lord speaking to him. Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. Now notice this statement. Seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. He said, there's something I've learned. God doesn't learn anything. But he said, there's something that you have showed me. He said, you have showed me, Abraham, that you are willing to hold back nothing from me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. He says here that Abraham did not withhold his son from him. He didn't say from death. Do you catch it? He said, from me. Now stay with me here. This goes to show that there was absolutely nothing in this life, including his own son, that Abraham held back from the will and purposes of God. When the Lord told Abraham he wanted Isaac, Abraham didn't try to hold him back. He took his hands and rights off. He took his hands and rights off of Isaac's life and presented him completely to the Lord. You know, in the same way, when a person loves the Lord supremely, there is nothing or nobody he will hold back from the Lord's use. Nothing or nobody. You know, it's amazing to look around and see God's children holding back on God. You know I know what I'm talking about. Here's some things they hold back. They hold back their own life. Well, I know God wants me to do that, but I just don't think I can. You're holding back on God. Some people hold back their children. God, you can call me, but good night, I'm afraid if I give in lock, stock, and barrel, you might call my child to China. You're holding back your children on God. God knows my heart. And listen, I may have to go through this someday, and if I do, glory be to God. I might have to look at my son someday and put him on a plane because he wants to go be a missionary. Listen, that boy right now, we're working with him. He is not perfect. He's close because he's got my blood in him, but he's not perfect. I'm kidding. But that boy, God gives us glimmers of hope in him just every now and then. He trusted the Lord. And he's not in this service. I wouldn't say this if he's here because I don't want to give him any false hope. You understand what I'm saying? He needs to get his assurance from God, not his daddy. But the fact of the matter is, he trusted the Lord in a meeting that I was preaching in Alabama. He came to us after the service, and Becky and I had the privilege of leading him to Jesus Christ right there in our room. Just this past week, he met a little boy. He'd never met him before. Just met him. And when he saw me, he said, "Daddy," he said, "I found somebody else I need to pray for." And he told his mama he's trying to save him. Now you and I know, he's just 7 years old. You and I know that's not exactly the way it is, but I'm going to tell you something. Can you imagine what that did for his daddy's heart to hear that? Amen. I don't know what the Lord's doing in his heart, but you know, he told me for, I think this is the second time he's ever told me this in his life. Now I'm bragging on him. I love that boy. I'm telling you. I love that girl too now, but she's a mess. He told me for the second time, I believe it's the second time, he's always said, "I want to be a soldier." Nothing wrong with that, praise God. "I want to be a policeman. I want to be a firefighter." He said, "I want to fight bad guys." But for the second time in his life, he looked at me and he said, "You know, Daddy," he said, "I believe I want to be a preacher." Now I'm being very careful, you understand? Why am I getting off on this? I'm getting off on this because of this. That boy's not mine. He's God's. The Bible says children are an heritage of the Lord. They are God's love gift to a couple. And I'm telling you, we have no right to say they're mine. You can't have them. Because without God, you would never have had them anyway. Am I right or not? And I'm telling you, right here, this is a major thought for a family. This is really a whole message right here. That Abraham said, "I know he's my only son, but God wants him. And if God wants him, then God can have him." Amen. That's a major, major lesson. People are holding back their own life. They're holding back their children. They're holding back their possessions. Hey, God gives you things not to use for yourself. He gives you things to use for His glory. And we need to use what He gives us to serve Him with. We learn this is a major teaching. To hold back nothing. 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 By the way, when will you never have a problem taking your hands off? When you don't have a problem realizing where it came from in the first place. Somebody says, "I don't need God." Take a breath. Where'd that come from? Is your heart beating? Why? It's because you're saying beat, boom, 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 beat, beat, beat. No, it's because God has breathed in you the breath of life. Our own life is not our own. It's God's. therefore the Lord. By the way, it's a privilege that God Almighty wants to use me. And it's a privilege that God Almighty wants to use my children. Amen. That's a privilege. I'm praying He does. We're praying for our children. And I'm praying for my children. I know my wife's praying for our children. We're praying for our children. And one thing I'm praying personally is that God calls them into the ministry. I want God to call them. It's up to Him if He does. Because whatever He wants, He made them. He has the right to do whatever He wants to with them. And may they give their hearts to Him. Amen. No doubt about it. I wonder, is there anybody or anything in this life you're holding back from God? Is there someone or something you need to take your hands off of? And say, God, whatever, whenever, however, wherever. Have you really said that? Or are you afraid? Isn't it silly that Christians are afraid to give in to God? It's almost like they think God's up there with a lightning rod saying, boy, I hope they give in. I'm going to make their life miserable. Boy, I hope they'll say yes to me, because if they do, I'm going to break their leg off. I'm going to send them to the deepest, darkest jungle and make them absolutely wish that I'd take them home early. God doesn't work that way, folks. Let me ask you a question. If you're a parent, think with me. If you're not, try to think like one just a minute. If your children came to you and said, Daddy, Mama, I'm through with myself. I am completely yours. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'm through rebelling. I'm not doing anything. It's yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, from now on. I'm saying, you tell me exactly what you want me to do. I am right behind you. I am your servant. What would you do? That's probably the truth. But would you make your child's life miserable? You would make it the life they've been looking for all along. And God wants to do the same thing with His children. Don't hold back anything. Then major lesson number 6. We learned this in verses 9 and 10. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. This is kind of repeat here, but I'm doing it for emphasis. And really, I wish our cadets were over here to hear this, but this is major thought number 6. Children are to honor and obey their parents. Now, it's important to remember again that Isaac's not a little child at this time. I've already said this. I know it's repeat, but I'm doing it again. It's been said that he was a grown man. This tells us he could have resisted his father. He could have resisted Abraham trying to tie him up, offering him as a sacrifice. However, there's no hint. Let me say it again. There's no hint of rebellion in this son's heart. He willingly laid down and allowed his father to use him in fulfilling the will of God in his life. Now, in the same way, it's important that all children, young and old, learn the lesson that we are to honor and obey our parents. Now notice I say our. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. This does not give the parents the right to play God in your life when you're older. Amen. In other words, you need to run your house that way. You need to buy that house. You need to buy that car. You need to do that. Stay out of it, parents. You can guide them, but you're not God in their life. Amen. But on the flip side, it does not give somebody who's out of the house now any right to dishonor their parents and disobey their mom and dad. And I'm going to tell you something here. My mom and dad are still living. My mother's in the service, and she knows I'm telling you the truth. If they would ask me to do anything that's not against the Lord, I'll gladly do it. She knows I'm telling the truth. I'm putting myself on the spot. And I'm telling you something. I not only do it, I gladly do it. Let me show you the difference between honor and obedience. Here's a good way to remember it. 2 A's. Are you ready? Obedience is action. Honor is attitude. Let me show you what I mean.
If you're my family, you're my mom and dad, and you say, go clean your room, and I go, slam the door, clean the room, come back out and say, it's clean, go check it. You listening? I obeyed you, but I didn't honor you. God not only wants you to obey your parents, He wants you to honor your parents. It's both. And I'm telling you that we see Isaac here as a great example for us. He's a grown man. And yet he's still saying, Daddy, is that what you feel God wants you to do? I'll help you. I'll submit. By the way, how many of y'all do not have your mom and dad alive? Would you raise your hand? I'm not trying to make you, you know, go back in your mind. But let me ask you a question. If your mom and preacher, I remember you saying from this pulpit something along this line, that if your mom and daddy could come back and ask you to do something, you would willingly do whatever they ask you to do. And if your mom and dad's not here right now, are you listening to me? I realize some of your moms and dads, listen, I don't know how you grew up, but I'm talking about somebody right now who understands what I'm trying to get across. If your mom and daddy stepped down right now, hopefully they're in heaven. I hope they are. If they stepped down from the portals of glory and they said, son or daughter, I'd like you to do one thing for me. Do you think you'd dishonor them? I don't think so. We are living in a society where parental honor has gone down the tubes. And I'm going to tell you something. That's as wicked as the devil himself. Amen. Amen. We need to honor and obey the parents that God has given us. By the way, the reason you do it is because God told you to. And the Word of God, if you don't obey those you can see, what makes you think you're going to obey God who you cannot see? See, they're God's representatives in the home. They're God's representatives of authority in the home. And that's one of the missing elements in our country, is respect for authority. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth. You go to the schoolhouse, and a kid can about talk to a teacher any way he wants to, and as soon as that teacher says anything negative to them, there might be a parent-teacher conference, and that teacher might be booted, and we wonder why they're killing each other in our public schools. Am I right or wrong, folks? I'm right. You cannot go against the Bible and expect to have peace. Amen. Anybody want to preach this for me? But you know in your heart, I'm telling you the truth. You know it's the truth. I believe you want the truth, or I don't think you'd be here. Right? That's right. Amen. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Ephesians 6, 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3, 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You know, young people, just in case there are young people listening to me now, teenagers, folks who have your parents and so on. Now, folks, listen. I'm not saying that parents are perfect. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that you couldn't come up here and say, here's what my parents have done to me. I'm not saying that, but I am saying this. I am saying the Bible says, children, obey your parents in all things. For this is right. And I am saying that God says to honor your parents. By the way, the reason you ought to is not because they deserve it. It's because of who they represent. They represent the Lord. His authority in your life. He gave you to them. So who gives you the right to disobey and dishonor? Quiet in here. It's okay. You parents ought to be saying amen, by the way. Then the last major lesson we learn, this is the teaching under Mount Moriah. Tonight we looked at hold back nothing from God. Children are to honor and obey their parents. Number three, it's actually number seven, I believe, in our study, but this is number three tonight. This is where we'll conclude. God has provided himself a lamb. He has provided himself a lamb. For instance, in verses 7 and 8 and then verse number 13, you'll notice that Isaac asks Abraham a question. He says, Here's the fire, here's the wood, but where's the lamb? In verse 8, Abraham says, God will provide himself a lamb. That's a prophetic statement. You see what I'm saying? Notice the language. God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide himself a lamb. Now, what's this mean? When Isaac asked Abraham where the lamb was, God told him God will provide himself a lamb. Now, we know from the pages of God's holy word that the lamb has been provided some 2,000 years ago in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:29 and 36. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And verse number 36 says, And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, has died as the substitute for our sin. He had the wrath of God fall on him on the cross of Calvary. And because of the Lamb of God, we can be saved and live forever with him in heaven. Praise God for the Lamb of God tonight. By the way, here's one reason, because I'm about done here. Here's one reason, one major reason why we believe in the pre-tribulational rapture of the church. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. We believe at this church, according to the Bible, that God is going to send Jesus Christ and he is going to rapture the church before the tribulation begins. Now, you say, prove it. Thank you for asking. I'll just give you one thing. There's many. By the way, God willing, in the future, I know what you're thinking. You say in the future all the time. That's because it's in the future, okay? I don't know how far in the future, but that and other major teachings and so on. But one major reason why we believe that we are gone before the before the tribulation begins is because one of the names of the tribulational period, it is the time of God's wrath. Right or wrong? It's God's wrath, right? Where the wrath of God will be poured out upon the inhabitants of the earth. Okay? Now here's the thing. If Christians are in this earth when God's wrath is being poured out, then the Lord Jesus Christ is having the wrath of God poured out on him again. Let me tell you why. What's the name of the church today? The bride and the body of Christ. Right or wrong? Are you with me? Jesus Christ had the wrath of his Father laid out on him on Calvary. He was buried 3 days later, rose again. He's victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he will never suffer the wrath of God the Father again. Are you with me? Which means before God's wrath falls, his body must be taken out of the way. Now I'm telling you something, folks. You need to rejoice. By the way, here's another reason. I just told you I'd give you one. Let me give you another one. Because his coming is imminent.
Yes.
Which means, are you listening to me? I'm not looking for Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. I'm saying this. If the tribulation has to come first, then we're not to look for Jesus Christ. We're to look for the Antichrist and then do subtraction and count 7 years. God's second coming. You listening to me? The rapture's not on a timetable, folks. He said he can come at any moment. The only way that's possible is if he comes before the tribulation. That's it. You say you're simple. Thank you. It's what I like to be. There's many, many other reasons, but those are two. I have no idea why I told you that. Why'd I tell you that? I told you that because God's provided himself a lamb. And if you're in the Lamb, you are safe for eternity. And it's only because he took your place. This is all from Mount Moriah. What a mountain. Somebody say amen right there. What a mountain.
I don't know where we're going next, but that mountain right there has kept us parked for three services. And those three services are full of teaching that I hope you'll take home and chew it over and over and over and say, man, that's better than a ribeye steak. See, one of the jobs of a pastor, you're not getting ready to go, are you? I hear a ruffling of leaves. One of the jobs of a pastor is this. He's to feed the sheep. And then the sheep reproduce sheep. You see what I'm saying? My job is to care for you and love you and lead you and feed you. So that as you come here, you have a buffet laid out before you. I'm not saying that I put a buffet out before you, but I hope I put some meat and potatoes on the plate for you. And I'm telling you, take it, digest it, then go out and do something for God.
Amen. Yeah.
Then come back in, pull your seat up, whatever, wipe the grease on your shirt sleeve, and say, put her back on the table again. Amen. And that's what I'm trying to do. And I pray the Lord will help me to do exactly that. Mount Moriah. The test, the typology, the teaching. Now, what is it God wants you to do? What is it the Lord wants you to do? Whatever it is, take your hands off and let Him have full reign. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, we love You, and I pray that You'll bless. I pray, Lord God, that You'll bless in this time, help in this time. Take these simple thoughts, and Lord, they are simple, and I pray that You'll encourage us with them. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. She's beginning to play through softly. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you put your faith and trust in the substitutionary death of Christ? You know He's your Savior. If you don't know that tonight, may I invite you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I encourage you to do that. That's Bible salvation. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, why don't you come and let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord. Well, maybe this week you've trusted Christ. And if that's you, in just a moment I want to have you to come if you feel like the Lord would come. Would have you come and make it public. Let us rejoice with you. And then we talk to Christians here about, are you holding anything back from God? Not that you've ever said with your mouth, God, you can't have that or have him or have her. But have you really made a full, complete surrender of yourself, your children, family, your possessions? Well, maybe tonight God's speaking to you because you've not been honoring your parents. You've not been obeying your parents. And you realize you need to be more like Isaac in submission to them. Or maybe tonight God just reminds you about how good He's been to you by sending His Son to die in your place. Maybe you just want to come and say thank you. So whatever it is, if you need to be saved, you come. If you've been saved this week and you want to make it public, you're not ashamed of Christ and what you've done this week, you come. If you need to come and say, God, help me take my hands off, then you come. If you need to come and say, God, help me to honor and obey my parents, then you come. If you just want to come and say, God, thank you for providing the lamb. Thank you for taking my place. Then you come. Whatever it is, may the Lord help you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, bless it in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're playing through softly. God is speaking to you right now, right now, right now. Would you leave your place and would you come? Right now, would you come? If you say, Jody, I need to be saved, or I've been saved, I want to make it public, whatever the case may be, I don't want to hold back anything from God, I want to obey and honor my parents, whatever it is, I just want to come and say thank you, Lord, for providing a lamb. Whatever it is, right now is your time. Would you come? Come now. Come right now. Come right now. May the Lord help you. May God help you with this. No doubt about it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good. Standing, I'd like you to look this way, would you? It's a blessing when people respond. It's a blessing, all these little nuggets in the Word of God. There's a lot of them, right? This is one of them. And I hope this will be a blessing to you. Let me encourage you that God has saved you for a purpose. I'm getting some information here, so I'm just talking to you while I'm doing this. God has saved you for a purpose. If you've yet to turn in a card out there for the Striving Together wall, again, if you sign up, it's not you signing up saying, I'm going to do that. It's just you signing up saying, I'm interested in learning more about that. And there's several people who've turned those in, and that's a blessing. And I'm going to give myself several weeks here to gather these cards, and then we'll start having these meetings with these particular groups and get these ministries launched and on the way. You see what I'm saying? Some of them are already launched. We're just giving them more workers. And others will be launched along with it. Okay? Those cards are available out in the lobby. And the Striving Together box is out there. If you'll sign that and put that in the drop box, and somebody will be in touch with you later. Mr. Roger Ulrich, if you wouldn't mind to stand, sir, please. Brother Bob's standing with you. And, Roger came in yesterday. And I had the privilege of talking to him. And yesterday, in my large office, Miss Lashley's class, that's where I do my studying and so on in there. It's not my office, you understand. I'm being a little bit facetious here. But I shared the gospel with Roger. Roger's 29 years old. And yesterday, he understood, probably maybe for the first time, right? He understood for the first time. Now imagine this. First time he understood what Bible salvation is. And yesterday with me in that room, he bowed his head. Trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. You're happy about that, aren't you? We're happy for you. How many of you are happy for him? Say a big amen. Isn't this great? Now I'm going to tell you something. I told him, I said, listen, you don't have to come make it public, but I encourage you to. You shouldn't be ashamed of it. And the very next service, he's right here making it public. Now, I can't look at his heart and say he's a Christian, but I can tell you this, you understood if you meant what you prayed, you're going to heaven, whether you know it or not. Isn't that good? Praise God. We hope he'll stay right here with us and help us serve the Lord right here. We're proud of you. I'm proud of you. I know that doesn't mean much. I am your elder by 3 years. Yeah, I'm thrilled for you, my friend. I really mean that. God bless you. Amen. That's enough to run home on. You know what I mean? I'm not going to do it. I'm going to drive, but that's enough to run home. Aren't you glad the Lord's still saving people? Isn't that great? And he wants to save more. And God can use you to help us reach other people. And I hope you'll be right here every service letting us help you and train you. That'd be a great thing. But Steve, it'd be good for you to meet him. Try to get him into this program. That'd be a good thing. All right? God bless you. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss all the bus workers, if you wouldn't mind, to go ahead and make your way to your place. Appreciate you being here. God bless you. Appreciate Brother Bob leading the music. We kicked Brother Gary out of town. Kicked him all the way in Denver, you know. He's out there with his in-laws. I think his mother-in-law. I think his father-in-law's passed on, I believe. I'm not sure. He's not. Yeah, no, he's out there. I should have asked you. I should have seen you there. But he's out in Denver. Pray for him. He'll be coming back Monday, correct? Coming back Monday, I believe. That'd be very good. All right. all right? Appreciate you coming tonight. God bless you. I love you. I really mean that, most of you. I'm just kidding, okay? Brother Larry Stover, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us, please. Amen.